This is the Bangkok Conference, October 23rd through 26th of 2015. Title is A Summary of the True Worship. Message 1, verses are John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, chapter 14, verses 6 and 17, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 through 8, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. May the Father be gracious to us through the meetings this time, and also reveal to us your will that is in your heart. So each one here in the church can be a true worshiper before you. We realize that this is not an easy thing to, it's truly not easy to become your true worshiper. May the Holy Spirit teach each one of us in our hearts, in our spirit, to lead us into the reality of this worship. May the Holy Spirit work in us and be gracious to us, teach us, and also help us to fully enter in. Amen. Thank the Lord. Last year at this time, we began to fellowship concerning this point, the true worship. Do not think that this is my personal burden. No. It is a word that the Lord wants to speak to all the churches. Because it's the church, it's for Him. The most important point in the church is that we should come to worship our God. God wants to get His worship. So when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus began to speak. That the Father is seeking for true worshipers. Let's read it again. This word is very important. John chapter 4. This time, we just want to speak about the summary of the true worship. So that we'll take a look at what the Bible says about worship. Because this is not a simple matter. Do not think that it is very simple. There's nothing in this world that is simple. Then much less is it simple to worship God. Not one thing is simple. Reading the Bible is not a simple thing. If it were simple, it would not be so confusing today, right? If it were simple, we would not need such a thick Bible, because it is not simple. In particular, when we read the Word of the Lord, we need the Holy Spirit. And we need the anointing within to teach us. Without the Spirit, you and I may be reading a lot, but we don't know what we read out of it. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, we also need experience. If you have the Holy Spirit, yet you have no experience, it doesn't work either. That is why we need spiritual growth. The Bible tells us very clearly, it's just like you go to school, you study. Let's say you start at 5 to go to school. Is it once you go to, you start going to school, you know everything all at once? Perhaps not. When you go to school until you're 10, do you know everything? Not yet. At 16, you graduate from high school. Do you know everything? Xiaofei. And Xiaofei went to Germany to study. After 5 years, does he know everything? Do not think that it is easy to read the Bible. It is not that simple. We need God's mercy. There are many factors. And we also need a pure and clean heart. If your heart is no longer pure, even if you read and read again, it's still useless. The book of James tells us that if you read the word, you need to go do it. What is the use of reading it and not doing it? It's useless. It's useless. That is why James says, do not just be a hearer of the word. He also said, do not be a preacher or a teacher of the word, but be a doer of the word. If you know it and yet you do not practice it, what's the use? That's why once you know it, you need to go practice it. You need to experience it. Without doing so, you may understand everything, but it's all in your head and it's useless. So as a Christian, it is not a simple matter. Look, there's so many Christians in the world. There are millions of Christians. Is it easy? It's not easy. Now, let's come back to your locality. Are the churches simple? I see Brother Chu here. How many years have you been in the church? How many years? 40 years. Me too. A few more years, perhaps. You tell us. In your 40 years of experience, is the church life a simple matter? M- Man wants to simplify it. And they cut, 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 and snip, snap, snip. They not only simplify it, but they cut corners, and everything is gone. It's not that simple. You've been in the church life in Taiwan for 40 years. And what happened in the end? In the end, you could not find a good place where you can worship God. Tell me the truth. Is it like this? This is the reason why he came here. But what did you come here to see? You have to know. It is not simple to know this wonderful God. It is not that simple. 2,000 years have gone by up until today. Where is the work that God wants to accomplish? Let me ask Brother Guangro, is it here? Are you satisfied? Is God satisfied? It's not simple. You have to realize this point. Each one of us have to go before the Lord with a seeking heart to pray, to ask the Lord, and to receive light from Him. Do not think that you know everything. I do not think that I know everything. But once I know one point, then I need to go practice it. It's only in this way that God can give you higher revelation. Otherwise, if our spiritual life does not progress, then what happens? There are even places where they go backwards. They do not go forward, yet they go backwards. Young people don't know. Because they have not gone through the experience. It's absolutely not simple. Do not think that it is simple. That is why when the Lord came, here it tells us, that our Father is seeking for true worshipers. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 23 of John. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. It's just the spirit, because we people, we have a spirit in us. We have this human spirit, and we also have our soul. We also have a body. Tell me, is your, you as a person, simple? Brother Chen, are we simple as a human being? Are you simple? He said, very complicated. Of all those that are seated here, if you are very simple, raise your hand. Brother Duan, are you simple? He can't say. Perhaps you're more complicated than your father. Perhaps. I don't dare to say because I do not live here. But I can tell you that I am a very complicated person. I have my flesh. I have my spirit. I also have the self. In my living, with what do I live? What do you live by? Do you just live by your head? Or do you live by your likings of your flesh? Whatever you like to do, you just go ahead and do it. How about the spirit within you? How about the Holy Spirit that indwells you? How does He react? Is it simple? Tell me. Now, if we humans are not simple, do you think that our God is simple? If you think that it's simple, I'll let you speak here. Brother Virasak, I'll let you come speak. I'm afraid you cannot say anything. Neither can I. Because our God is too great. What we know of Him today is just a little bit. Even Paul said, we only know, what we know is only a little bit. We cannot know Him fully. Besides, Paul also said that he has not yet attained. Brother Guangrong, have you attained? He said no. Then now I have to ask again, what are you going to attain to? What is your goal as a Christian? Now, if you have not yet reached the goal, what should you do? Now, let me ask again. How are you going to reach the goal? Without doing anything? Just go to sleep? Just believe? And do nothing? And you can reach the goal in this way? Now let me ask you one more thing. By coming each Lord's Day to hear a message, can you reach the goal? How many years have you been listening? 40 some years. Have you reached a goal? No. Now what should we do? Should we continue in this way? Does the Word of God not give us a way to go on? That is why the attitude of our heart towards the Lord is very important. It's not simple. Pursue the Lord. Seek the Lord in a good way. Not only in the meetings, but personally, you have to seek the Lord. If you do not seek the Lord personally, it's not sufficient. If you just rely on coming each week to hear a message here, do you think that's enough? It's not enough. That is why I hope that the brothers and sisters here, you all need to pay attention to hear and also search. Don't just say amen and that's it. When you go home, read the Lord's Word and check it out. Is it truly like this? Does the Word of God say it like this? You need to be able to discern. Do not listen loosely. You need to discern. Each one of us needs to do that. Otherwise, your spiritual life will not grow. And I tell you, if you do not improve, you regress. So may the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. So, what God wants of a worshiper is one who lives in his spirit. It's not simple. How many people can you find that are truly living in their spirit? I know, Brother Doyle. Please help me out. Are you a person who lives in your spirit? No. He says, don't be so polite and do not be so humble. If it's yes, say yes. And if it's no, say no. Okay? Be honest. Are you a person who often lives in your spirit? No. No, he says. How many years have you been a Christian? 20-some years. After 20-some years, it's still no. He's laughing over there. How about you? Neither is he. Oh dear. So where is the Father going to find the worshippers that will worship Him in spirit? If you ask me, I also have to say, regrettably, it's not often. Then you may ask, if it's not always, then when do you live in your spirit? Why do I ask this question? Because it is not a simple matter. Do you think that every Christian lives in his spirit? Do you think an elder, being an elder, is a person who lives in his spirit? Do Do you think that a person who can give a message is one who lives in his spirit? If it were that simple, our Father would have found some long time ago. He would have found some that worship Him in spirit a long time ago. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. In my many years of observation, there are people who talk about the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, for 40-some years, yet they do not live in the Spirit. It's easy to talk. To live and walk in the Spirit is not simple, because our self is too strong, and our flesh is too corrupt. We often deceive ourselves. When people look at you, it seems that you're living in your spirit, but that is fake. When people do not see you, are you still living in your spirit? What is your mind thinking of? So the Father is seeking His worshipers, the true worshipers. The first point is in spirit. If a person does not exercise and practice to say, Father, I want to live in my spirit, you will not be living in your spirit. It is very natural for you to live in your flesh and in yourself. But for you to live in your spirit is not a natural thing. It needs exercise. Is it easy to practice holiness? Is it easy to practice not speaking so loosely? Is it easy not to express your flesh? No. Right, sister? Is it easy to scold people? Very easy. If I don't like it, blah, 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 blah. But is it easy to have fellowship with the Lord and to pray? After you pray a few words, you have nothing more to say. So that is why I'm not drawing three circles here to say that you have a spirit, you have a spirit. The problem is not the three circles. The question is whether we people who belong to God, whether we live in our spirit daily. Without being in the spirit, you can absolutely not worship God. How are you going to worship? Because what God does today, everything that God does today is done through His Holy Spirit, through our human spirit. God's blessings today are all heavenly and spiritual things. Because today our Lord Jesus is the Spirit who indwells our spirit. So if you're not in your spirit, what should you do? We can talk. We can speak. We can sing. We also know how to pray a little bit. We know how to do many things. Yet, if you're not in your spirit, I don't dare to say it's of totally no value. But tell me, is God satisfied? Let's read Philippians that we just read. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul says here, verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. The Chinese translation says to worship with the Spirit of God. But this verse can be translated in two ways. Because there are two original Greek texts. One says, to worship God in spirit. And the other one says, to worship with the Spirit of God. Now, which one are you going to choose? Tell me. Now, when you worship God, do you worship with the Spirit of God? Of course, worship is towards God. Besides, the Lord Jesus said that we need to worship in spirit. Besides, the Bible also tells us to live in our spirit. Now this verse should be read together with Romans chapter 2. Let's read Romans chapter 2. Verse 29. Here it talks about the real Jew. It's not the outward circumcision. Like in verse 28, we can read it. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Now which is the real one. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit. Not in the letter. Whose praise is not from men, but from God. So the true one is not the outward, but the inward. Being a Christian is not an outward matter, but an inward matter. God wants to seek the true ones, not the false ones. The real ones, the true ones, are in spirit. In the Old Testament age, it was outward. In the New Testament age, it's inward, in the spirit. It's a spiritual matter. That is why God is seeking for his true worshipers today. And the first point of this is that in spirit, Paul served God, he preached the gospel, he did all this in his spirit. His service was in the spirit. And since we're in the book of Romans, let's read chapter 1, verse 9. What does he say here? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. That without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So when he preached the gospel, he did not preach the gospel with his ability, but he preached the gospel with his spirit. It doesn't mean to say that you should not preach, but it depends on what you preach the gospel with. Many people preach the gospel. Paul also said, no matter how the gospel is preached, as long as the gospel is preached. Because the gospel is the gospel. If you preach a gospel with a tape, it's also a gospel, but the recording has no spirit. Of course, it doesn't have any flesh either. It's neutral. But you are not a tape recorder. You're not a tape. If you are the one preaching, you use yourself, your own knowledge, your head knowledge to preach, or do you use your spirit to preach the gospel? Perhaps you use your knowledge and your wisdom to preach the gospel, and the gospel sounds very good, but it's without any power. If you want to preach the gospel, you need to preach with your spirit. We all need the Spirit to serve God. Let's read Romans chapter 1 again. What does he say here? Verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11. I should not be slothful. Does it have to be burning in spirit? Perhaps you have a good heart, yet you're not in your spirit. The original text is in spirit. But it's strange that the translator of the Bible translated into the heart. Why? Because he did not understand what the spirit is about. This is actually Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So it's right for us to be diligent. But are you diligent in your flesh or in your spirit? Because today we have two sources in us. If I do not live in the spirit, I'm very diligent. My fervent. I'm fervent, and yet I'm fervent in my self. But it doesn't mean that I should not be diligent anymore because I'm afraid of my flesh. I heard people say, is this Brother John? You use 2 Peter to say that we all have to be diligent to labor. Didn't you say that as priests, serving priests, that they should not sweat? If I'm diligent, won't I be sweating? Then what should I do? So I shouldn't do anything, then I won't sweat. If I just rest, I won't sweat. It's not like this. The Bible, it doesn't mean this in the Bible. You have to be diligent, but you also be fervent in spirit. It doesn't mean to say you shouldn't do anything anymore. Paul said that he worked more than all the other apostles. But it's not I. But the grace of God was in me. He had a different source. It's not a question of whether doing it or not doing it. It's right to be doing. But what do you do it by? Through what do you do the work? What is your source? So brothers and sisters, you need to learn. If you do not exercise, and if you're not clear, you would not know how to go on. Much is said in the Bible about us living in the Spirit. Galatians tells us to walk in spirit. We have to walk in spirit. Now, brothers, I have another question. How can I be in my spirit? You have to ask this question. This is an important question. Because the Bible does not teach you how to be in your spirit. If I were to ask you, how do you use your mind? How are you going to explain it? Yona, how do you use your mind? T teach me how to use your mind. Maybe you're not a psychologist. So I'll ask a psychologist how to use your mind. Can you teach me? Xiaofei, who studied psychology? Please teach me how to use my mind. You have no need to teach. Once the Holy Spirit enters into us, my spirit comes alive. I'm born again. And the Holy Spirit who indwells you will teach you. Only He is qualified to teach you, because He is the one living in you. You do not need others to teach you to live in your spirit. You ask me, Brother John, how do I live in my spirit? How am I supposed to teach you? Brother Guangrong, would you please teach me? Point number one, you have to read the Bible. Point number two, you have to pray. Point number three, you have to call the name of the Lord. Number four, you have to be very good. Number five, you don't love the world, don't quarrel with others, etc. Tell me, is that living in the Spirit? No. It's the Holy Spirit within you. If you are a person who seeks the Lord, you would be praying daily, Lord, since you live in me, please teach me. I know that I have my flesh all wrapped around me outwardly. Besides, it's fallen and corrupt. So since you live in me, please teach me daily, every day, how to live in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. He is there to teach you. The anointing is there to teach you. Besides, He is there to teach you in all things. He wants to lead you. I cannot help you. But the Holy Spirit that lives in you, if you are a person who is willing to learn, you are willing to learn to be spiritual, then you have to learn to have fellowship with Him. Say, Lord, teach me, train me, speak to me. Give me an ear to hear what the Spirit says, so that I will not grieve the Spirit, so that I will not quench the feeling of the Holy Spirit within me, so that whatever the Holy Spirit says to me, I will obey. This is living in the Spirit. If you have such an exercise every day, I guarantee you, gradually you will become a person who lives in your spirit. There's no other way. It's not that you just read the Bible, you say amen and amen again. But what you live out is not an amen. Then what? This is the reason why many Christians do not live in the Spirit. You and I all both know. we people, older people, our hairs have grayed, and we know that it's not simple to live in the Spirit. You have a long history here in the church in Bangkok. How much experience do you have of living in the Spirit? That is why, up until today, the Father is still seeking. We live, and we live in a traditional way. It's very simple. We have a lot of outward activities. But living in the Spirit, it's too little. Lord Jesus. There are many aspects. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says that we have to be a spiritual man. It's a spiritual man that searches all things. How do you know what I'm saying is right? How do you discern? Is Brother John deceiving me, or is he speaking the truth? How do you know? Have you heard that? It's not simple. The only way is to know is if you are a person who lives in your spirit. Without living in the spirit, how could you discern? You would just say, oh, what he's saying, that's a word from the Bible, that's good enough. Is it that simple? You also speak the word from the Bible. I also speak the word from the Bible. What's the difference? Then who is right? Philip, how are you going to discern? It's not simple. You have to become a spiritual man. Paul says, a spiritual man searches all things. That is why the Father is seeking such people. And the second point. We also have to be living and walking in spirit by the Holy Spirit. We come back to John chapter 4. I don't know about your Thai translation. But in Chinese, here, it's very amazing. In verse 24, God is spirit. So he who worships him must worship in spirit. It's the same word, spirit. But in the Chinese translation, the second spirit is translated into the heart and spirit. Why don't you say that God is a heart spirit? Tell me, can it be translated that way? They don't dare to translate it that way, that God is a heart spirit. But the second spirit, our spirit is translated into our heart spirit in Chinese. It's unreasonable. So from this you see that man likes to do things presumptuously. They just do whatever they like to do. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit. Why is the word must used? Why? Could you help me out? Why is the word must used? It had to be like this. Is there another way? If there's no other way, then you don't have to say must. If the word must is used, that means to say there may be some other ways of worship that are not according to God. God wants this worship in spirit, and yet what I do is in the flesh. And what I do is according to my own intention and will. That's why God said, it's a must. No other way can be used. It must be in spirit. Because man has many methods. I like this, and he likes that. He has his views, I have my own views. So how should we worship? We just read in Deuteronomy chapter 12. God told his people do not worship God like the ways of the nations. In the Chinese, they again translated to serve God. Again, it's wrong. A wrong translation. It's to worship God, not to serve him. It's worship. Worship has to be in spirit, must be in spirit. And also, service also has to be in spirit. But brothers and sisters, today we just worship in whatever way we please. If you go to a Pentecostal place, then they would be dancing in their worship. Tell me, does God want such a kind of worship? The angels in heaven are all dancing. No. God wants our worship, especially for us, it's a very special kind of worship. First, it must be in spirit. Second, you need to have reality. You have to have the experiences of Christ. You need to have your offerings. In order to understand this passage of the scripture, you need to go back and look into the entire Bible. If you want to understand Jerusalem, you have to go back into the Bible to see it. Do not say that this part is the Old Testament. That's wrong. That is the Bible, the scripture. Let me ask you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So all scripture, the scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it is God breathed, the breath of God. Now, let me like to ask you, which book is Paul referring to? The New Testament or the Old Testament? Is the entire scripture from Matthew to Revelation? We separated into the Old Testament and New Testament, but when Paul wrote this word, the New Testament was still non-existent. The so-called New Testament was not yet there. He was referring to Genesis to Malachi, the scripture. That's the word of God. If you consider that as the Old Testament, oh, I don't need that anymore. Oh, that's old. It's not important. And this small part in the back is important. Only this part. Perhaps it's because you're lazy in reading the Bible. Perhaps you read it and you don't understand it. And you don't like to read it. And you just throw it away. That's old. You don't need it anymore. Tell me, is it not needed anymore? Every word, every sentence is God's word. Each sentence is a help to you. This is what Paul said. It will also rebuke you. It's for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it can also perfect you. Do you think that this thick portion of the scriptures is not necessary? That you don't need to read it? If you do not read it, how do you think you would understand God? Let's read John chapter 5. After reading this, we can break. Beginning with verse 41. It says, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, because the Lord is in spirit, and he knows. I know that you do not have the love of God in you. Of course, they wouldn't admit it at that time. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? How can you believe? That's an important point here that I like to share with you. Do you not think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you. It's Moses in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. He not wrote things pointing to me, but he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? That is why if you want to believe in the Lord Jesus, first you need to believe in the words of Moses. If you do not understand the words of Moses, you would not fully believe in the words of Jesus. Because you do not realize that Moses spoke about Jesus. You think Moses was just talking about the law. Tell me, how many laws are there? The Ten Commandments. But the Lord Jesus said there were only two, because he summarized it. That's why, brothers and sisters, it's not that simple. Do not consider the words in the Old Testament as the Old Testament. I don't know how many times I've said this. I've said it many times. The Old Testament or the Old Covenant just refers to the Old Covenant that God had with his people. According to the law. That was, God was dealing with them according to the law. That means the relationship between God and his people was determined by the law. This is the covenant. Genesis to Malachi is not a covenant, but it's the word of God. It cannot be put away, and it remains forever. It speaks of our triune God. In the New Testament, it refers to grace. God deals with us based on his grace. So when the New Testament started, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant stopped. The New Covenant replaced the Old Covenant. This is a question of the covenant. But this Bible is a word of God. God's word will not fade away. My words will not pass away. This is what the Lord says. That is why the Lord Jesus said, if you do not believe Moses, you wouldn't believe me either. They thought they believed Moses. But actually, they did not realize that Moses was talking about Christ. So in order to understand the riches of Christ, you must understand Moses. If you don't want to go read Moses, you will not fully understand the riches of Christ. So thank the Lord. This morning, we're just speaking about these basic things to help the brothers and sisters. Otherwise, if we think that it's useless and we don't need to use it anymore, and you would say, oh, Brother John, why are you talking about the Old Testament still? I'm not talking about the Old Testament. And I do not want, I am not here to bring you back to the Old Covenant. Am I doing this? No, that's good. It's good that you understand this. I want to help you see the riches of Christ, and that is all. God wants us to experience Christ. How do we experience Christ? So that we would have offerings to bring to the Father. It's not a difficult matter. Amen. Sorry, I went over time a little today.